Live from Radio Row in New Orleans, it's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
Golfer? Paige Brack?
Yep.
Coming up. Offensive guard? No, he actually is. Will Hernandez is coming up from the Cardinals and Chaparral High School.
Paige is also a golfer.
She is.
She won a professional tournament, I believe.
Better than I am.
Definitely. She was a college player, too.
Let's get to a couple of Raiders updates, Raiders-related updates. Hour 3, Paul Padilla presenting Cofield & Company on the road. Media Row in the Convention Center. PFT with a story. John Gruden didn't get any sniffs as a potential head coaching candidate. Could he be reunited with Derek Carr as the Saints OC?
Be interesting.
It doesn't make sense to me on a lot of levels. Do you think he's desperate enough to be the two on a staff?
Well, he was already consulting.
This
is kind
of
on the staff already.
But more importantly, who's getting the job here?
He also has got a thriving media career.
I'm not taking any shots. I like him. I think he's a funny guy.
Yeah. It seems like he's comfortable and he's kind of found a role, too. Yeah. So.
And he had a great media career before all this stuff went down.
Yeah.
The other reason it doesn't make any sense is who is going to be the coach of the Saints? Who do you think?
I mean, I don't know if anybody wants it. That's the problem right now.
Well, they're down to Kafka. Did he pull out? I don't think he did.
No.
Right? And then who else? He's coaching in the game. Eagles OC.
Yeah, I mean, I guess if that's where they're going, then that would be the coordinator, I would imagine. I mean, he could be calling plays.
Do you think that's a bad choice?
It's uninspired. I don't think it's the, you know, again, if you're trying to hit home runs in the hiring process, I mean, you might eventually.
Why is you're talking about Kellen Moore? Why is that an uninspired? He was like hot as a pistol a couple of years ago.
I don't know. It's gone away.
Why? Philly's offense is freaking great.
Yeah, why is
it's
it?
It's a negative.
He's bringing Saquon and Jalen with him.
He runs the tush push a lot. He's got a sack.
He's bringing all those guys too. Bringing the offensive line with him.
Now he doesn't get credit for an offense working really well.
Well, it works really well when they have elite level players that are playing well.
You can have elite level players and be mediocre in offense.
Can
We've
be.
Seen it.
But it certainly helps you as a play caller when you're, yeah. Hey, how about you give the ball to that guy again? And then go jump backwards over somebody.
Yeah. Opening night last night, someone did ask Jalen Hurts about, you know, what do you think about having a new OC next year? Like, it's already done.
Yeah. I mean, I think, look, the fact that they are waiting in the way that they are, like, to not make a move. Like, they clearly believe that either they're getting him or they're likely to get him.
Yeah. And you already nailed the why Gruden wouldn't be a match. Because Kellen Moore is,
right.
He said he's going to call the plays. Which, by the way, I don't love.
No.
First time head coach. Now, I'm not saying he's going to be Josh McDaniels, but be the head coach.
Yeah, I mean, I think it works better when you have an actual offensive coordinator who calls the plays, who just understands your offense, what you want to do. Like, it's your offense, but their play call. But I also understand as a first-time head coach, if it's going to fail, you want it to fail because you fail. You don't want to take over, be an offensive guy, believe you have a great offensive mind and are going to call great plays, and then somebody else doesn't call those, you know, as good of a game, and you're like, I would have succeeded if I would have had my own guy, or if I would have done it myself.
Greg Olsen back. I saw Vinny was... You're making the point, hey, you know, a lot of great coaches love this guy. He's back.
Yeah.
I was going to be like, what's your memory? Some 22 years ago, he was with the Raiders just a short time ago, but.
I think he's a really good dude. You know, pretty entertaining. I think he had some frustrations, near the end with, you know, some things that were going on there, but. I think he obviously left has a good reputation in the building, has a good relationship with a lot of people, and, you know, when you're able to do that, it, you know, enables you to be able to get back in the mix.
Good reputation within the building. Chip Kelly.
Good reputation around the league.
What's the word on this one? Listen, people can change.
Sure.
So what's the word?
Well, I mean, I've been here, so I haven't really talked to the guys.
I don't even mean the players. I just, you know, the way it ended in Philly, there were a lot of stories about him being a little bit, you know, kind of grumbly and not super organization guy.
Yeah. Maybe
that's the head coach thing.
Yeah, I think it's more of a head coach thing to me. And I think he tried to, you know, obviously one of the big things a lot of people had about him was he was micromanaging a lot of things about players. Like he was monitoring when they were falling asleep, when they were waking up, and then, you know, trying to tell them, hey, you gotta do this, you gotta do this.
You can do that when you're coaching the Oregon Ducks.
Exactly. And it's a little bit tougher when you're trying to coach at the NFL level. So I think as an offensive coordinator is really good, and I think as a head coach, maybe try to do too many things that, you know, you do with college kids and not with pros, and that seemed to impact him, but you're not bringing him back as a head coach. Bringing him back as an offensive coordinator. He can do that.
Just got done talking a little gambling with Sam Panayotovich. There's something called Las Pages as a promotion. Las Pages with Sports Grid. Involves prop betting. We'll get to it. The page is Paige Spiranek, golfer. Model?
Yeah, I think so.
Nice, attractive lady. We were doing some research on her, and she walked up on us doing the research. It wasn't like naked pictures. Trying to do some research. And, we got into the topic because she's actually very self-conscious. She saw her Wiki page up on Adam's computer, and she's like, I hate that picture on Wiki, and I changed it. We're like, wait, you can edit, or you do edit your own Wiki page?
No, someone keeps putting,
you're
it,
putting
on.
It back.
Yeah, because I get so much hate for this picture, and it drives me insane because people will point it out, and they'll use it as comparisons to, like, other pictures that I post, and now you guys are both looking at my Wikipedia page.
Of course we are. Look, if you're gonna point something out on the internet, we're going to have to go ahead and find
it. Oh, no.
Fortunately for you, the Wi-Fi here is brutal.
Yeah, okay.
It's been a complaint all day. We can't.
That picture, I hate that picture. Yeah. Do you see the issue that I'm
shocked.
Dealing with?
Like, you look kind of shocked.
Well, someone said something to me. I'm like mid reaction to that after like a round of golf in 100% humidity, and it was so hot out. I'm like sweating, and I just don't feel good. And that picture is ruining my life.
It's pretty gross.
I don't want to look at that picture again. I get so much hate for it, and I'm like, I know.
Who's hating?
Good.
What are we doing here?
Because the best is we would all kill for like a photo that looked half that good of us, and you're like, this is the worst
These
picture.
These picky douchebags on the web. If anyone should ignore criticism, it's you.
Yeah, it's actually you on the side being like, oh, she looks horrendous.
I'm quite the opposite.
I'm her in person. She's terrible.
I see all the incels up on social media, and I'm like, guys, stop. You bang a catcher's mitt, okay? So let's not be picky here.
Along these lines, I mean, there are a lot of photos of you out there.
Yeah.
In social media and everywhere else. Like, wherever you go, it has to be like, oh, these people have seen pictures of me or whatever. You post them for up there, so you expect that, but it's like an awkward thing to some people, right? Would you feel that way?
I don't think so. I mean, sometimes people will bring like I did Maxim and Sports Illustrated swimsuit, and I'm proud of those images, and I love, you know, leaning into my sexiness, and I'm proud of the amount of work and effort it takes in the gym and in diet, and that's the result. And I won't look like this forever, so I might as well love it when I feel the best that I can feel. So I never shy away from it, and I think it's cool that other people also like it.
Where'd you do the SI shoot? I'm just curious, because I was in SI, and I did a shoot.
I did in Aruba. I just missed you,
really?
Right?
I was actually at a strip club called Striptease.
Ah.
This was the most ridiculous thing they've ever done. I'm serious. They ever did in SI.
No, I'm only there on Saturdays.
There you go. So SI was pitched an idea. Hey, talk to these radio dorks in Vegas about the NBA being in Vegas eventually. And then the guy who wrote it was out of his mind that we did live shows at strip clubs. Our claim to fame is we've done more shows at strip clubs than anyone in sports radio history.
Best chicken wings around, though.
You know what? Let's not even go down this path.
No,
we got
food
on a food
hits.
Path. The food at some of the strip clubs in Vegas is awesome. But anyway, they actually had myself, and this is Adam, but I did a show with a guy who was nicknamed the Sports Pig. He was 5'8", like 425 pounds, and it's him and I leaning on a stripper pole.
You know, it's funny.
It's ridiculous.
So some of the controversy I get online or the opinions that people have, they always go, oh, are you a stripper or a golfer? And so I did a whole parody on that, and we shot it in a strip club, and my stripper name was Sandy Mounds.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Way to lean
Solid.
Into it.
Yeah.
Solid. Way to lean into it. All right. So you got to tell me with Sports Grid, it's Las Pages.
Las
like
Pages.
Like your name, P, okay.
Yeah, like Vegas, but we thought Page would be funnier.
I didn't get the Vegas part.
Oh, you got it? Okay.
I just got it. Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So what's going on? What is this?
So it's a destination that covers betting to casino to fantasy to lifestyle. And our first show, Gimme Props, launched on February 2nd. Where people will write in and give me prop bets, and then I have to see if I can beat it or not.
Nice.
Yeah.
Was there an example from the first one that stood out?
Yeah, so the first episode is called Dirty Balls, and I have to clean a certain amount of golf balls. They're golf balls. Golf is the key word in that challenge. And a certain amount of time. It was harder than I thought. We had like the ball. I
saw the motion. I always felt weird doing that when I played golf. Not that my mind races to that.
Hands need to go behind my back. Yeah. So then that was the first
episode.
We got
time on camera if you want to do it again.
Yeah. And then the second one was a double stacked burger, and I had to get it done in 5 bites.
What?
Yeah.
And
no chance.
You got to tune in. But I will say that we did a marshmallow challenge as well, see how many marshmallows I could fit in my mouth. And it's quite impressive if I do say so myself.
I mean, that is tough. Because it's the old, like, you have to speak when they're in your mouth. Like, there's that game that people play. It's like a campfire game.
Yeah, Chubby Bunny.
Chubby Bunny.
Yeah.
I've seen people do, like, Steve, you have no idea.
No, I never heard that before.
Okay.
Well, we have marshmallows if you want to attempt it.
I think we should probably make it. Should absolutely.
That would look good on
me. Oh, no. You have to put one in and then say Chubby Bunny and then put another one in and see how many you could do and still say it.
Until you can't say it anymore.
Let's do it after the spot.
Okay, sounds great.
Do it on camera. It'll be good.
I don't really like marshmallows, so this is going to be tough.
Wow.
Who doesn't like marshmallows?
I know. That's just. So we have two people that don't like marshmallows.
That's a whole story.
That's weird.
It's a whole story.
It's very weird.
My mother's fault.
It's deep-seated.
Mommy issues.
deep-seated, that's fair.
And I laugh at it.
That's fair.
I laugh at it. So Adam was like really interested on the front end talking about pictures and reaction on social media. What do you think in general, since you're one of the leaders of kind of the content creation off of appearance and sports, there's a lot of people who followed in your footsteps. There are a lot of women making a lot of money. And yet there are people who get mad about it, but it's like, if there's an audience there, I'm going to make the money. Why wouldn't you? So what do you think of like all the people who have started to get into this realm and they're making money?
Well, it's really interesting. So I started doing this 10 years ago when this wasn't even a career opportunity. And I just needed to lean into it to finance my golf career. And I was trying to take a more traditional, serious path. And every time I would, it didn't matter what I was wearing, I could wear a turtleneck and full-length pants, and people would still put me into a box. And so it was just getting tiring because I didn't feel like I could please anyone. And regardless of what I was wearing, what I was doing, they just, again, put me in that box. And so I said, fine, I'm going to lean into it, and I'm going to have a lot of fun.
I'm going to fill that box with cash.
And for me, it was really just about, like, talking about, it's going to sound, and people are going to roll their eyes, but like female empowerment. You know, I am not afraid of my body, and I think that women are told to cover up when men are celebrated for the work that they do. And again, at the end of the day, we all just need to make a living for ourselves. And if this is the best way I can do it, like, I wish I could have done it by playing professional golf. But I wasn't good enough. And so you either sit there and you cry and you feel bad for yourself, or you pivot and you make a living for yourself. Well, and that's what I did.
To your point of the female empowerment aspect of it, like, a lot of people are making a lot of money off of women and their appearance to themselves.
Companies were doing that regardless. And so I might as well do it for myself instead of people profiting off of me without maybe, you know, full consent of, like, I didn't want to be put in this position or doing this. And it's like, now I have full control over my business.
Parties this week, or are you staying for the whole week?
So I'm leaving Thursday because I'm going to the WM in Arizona, which is the best golf tournament ever.
Party.
Yeah, so I am going to hopefully survive come Sunday, but it's going to be crazy.
What do you do at the golf tournament?
So
are
I'm
you
there
just watching, or are you doing sponsor stuff?
Yeah, so I'm out there for an appearance. And then I always try to stay for a little bit longer and just hang out at 16 or 17 and just it's so fun.
With security. That's a lot of drunk guys. I haven't been there. It looks like the craziest thing in all of sports.
It is. It's wild.
And I like to get drunk, but those people are insane.
It's a party on a golf course. Like, people will go there not even knowing that it's a golf tournament, and it's so hilarious because you'll see girls in club wear and their heels are sticking in the grass, and it's the best. You have to go.
That's the way golf should be every week.
That's what I'm
saying.
These
pansies with it's all of them. Who was the guy who got mad at, like, he could hear the blades of grass moving?
Every single one of them.
There's a caddy yelling at someone because the click, click on the phone. Like, what are you doing? Can we have some fun? Play with some pressure like the rest of the athletes have to play.
Yeah.
I don't know why I'm yelling at you.
Yeah, shuffling the change in the pocket.
I know. I'm in the same boat with you, too. I mean, I didn't grow up playing country club golf. I had to clean the pro shop to get range balls, and so
you were a woman of the streets.
Yes,
I admire
woman
that.
Of
you
people.
Play munis? I like that.
Well, and that's where I feel most comfortable because there's less rules, and you can go and you guys next to you are wearing cut off shorts and jeans, and you know it's fun, and that's what golf is all about. And I think we lose sight of that. It's about the community and just going out there with your buddies and just drinking and having fun.
That was a good pitch. I really did get
you. Want to play golf now?
No, I really got it. I was like, yeah. It's about the community. I'm like. Oh, this got serious. I love it. Now, the country club culture just frustrates me.
Yeah, no, I get it.
Yeah, the rattling the change in the pocket on the on the backswing was the worst.
Yeah,
somebody rattling pennies, like, all right. I can't control that.
That's why you are important to lighten it up.
You have to. They're seriously so serious, and they just complain about everything all the time in golf, and they try to do something different and pivot, and the people complain about that, and it's just so stuffy at times.
Am I a mean person when I get really happy when golfers kind of get caught doing stuff that other athletes do? Because they're always like, oh, the gentleman's game, and I'm like, whatever guy's doing coke. He's got 15 women. I mean, I kind of liked the whole Trump thing. I don't know why Trump was so fascinated with Arnold Palmer's wiener, but like, I kind of like that Palmer was outed as like, hey, he's just like every other athlete. It might be sad for his wife, but if he could get a woman at every course, then hey, well, guess what? He's just like most pro athletes.
Well, it's funny because in golf, like, I am seen as like super risque and people don't want to touch me, but like, at my core,
they
I'm actually...
They want to touch you, believe me. Not to get... I got risque, but give me a break. That's my whole point.
Yeah. But, like, I'm actually quite wholesome, and I don't get in trouble. But just because my shirt's a little bit lower than, you know, some people deem appropriate, then all of a sudden I'm horrible. But then there's people doing these things behind the scenes, and it's like, that's a little hypocritical.
I like this.
YouTube channel.
Lost Pages. Check it out. We're going to have Steve
Adam's
up there.
A pro.
We're going to.
He just wants me to look you up on the web and find some random pictures who he gets caught to.
No, I think at some point you're going to have to be on the show eating marshmallows.
If you want to look at my pictures, you can find me on Instagram under Paige Renee.
It's later tonight. I go on, you're in the algo on TikTok, I think. Absolutely.
TikTok algo.
Watch out, though. There's a lot of fake accounts of me on there.
You're not working to get those shut down?
I'm working so incredibly
hard.
Are
they fake you?
They're
like
fake.
They look like you? They're lookalikes?
No, well, there's that too. They will say that they're me, and then they'll scam people out of money, and it's this whole thing.
Oh, boy.
Like hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Oh, no. Sorry, I'm laughing to close the interview, but
yeah,
people
I might
are
have
dumb.
To go get a refund. I thought it was you.
Yeah, it was on the up and up. Paige, thank you so much. Again, folks, follow her up on the YouTube, and I have a chip here. By the way, on the YouTube. This newfangled that YouTube. LostPages.com. It's a great
find
promotion
me on the
with Sports Grid. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
That was comfortable. So, number one, I came out of that, and that's Paige Spiranek. I knew I was going to do that. Spiranek. Lost Pages on Sports Grid. Cool prop opportunities. Like every other guy who talked to her on Radio Row, was like, I'm in. I got a shot.
Sure.
I would never do that.
Well, I think she was upset.
That's an absolute joke.
She actually was upset that you didn't eat the marshmallows after that you said
I know.
You were going to.
What was it? Cubby Chubby?
Chubby. You can't even do it without one.
Chubby Wubby?
Chubby Bunny.
Chubby Bunny. Am I 11? Why are we doing this game? How old is that game?
It's pretty old.
I thought someone here referenced, like, didn't you go to camp?
Yeah, it's definitely a camp game. Campfire.
I was not a campfire guy. As a kid. I mean, we didn't go camping.
Obviously, no, I'm not.
No, you... Lost Pages. So look that up. You know what's weird?
It's very important you go to her YouTube channel.
Griffin You know, we talked to all these people today. We're going to have great conversations tomorrow and on Thursday and Friday. And Adam does these interviews, and then he just blurts out, like, YouTube page?
The man is following the number one rule. You plug. Give him the plug. They give us our time. We give him the plug.
You want to tell Griffin what was happening?
Yeah, as we're there, there's a PR person standing there, like, jumping up and down, pointing at a piece of paper that says, talk about her YouTube page.
Yep. Appreciate their help in getting her on. You know, if you just tell me before the interview, I'm pretty good at promoting things. Since we could just do that.
Well, then
instead of jumping behind you, YouTube page?
JVT was sitting here with us.
He started
tapping JVT and, like, basically yelling to say YouTube page. So JVT texted it to me also.
We were very thorough. Speaking of thorough, let's do some giveaways here. Caller 6 and 7. Caller 6 and 7. 6 and 7. 364-1100, 364-1100. Pickleball. Epic pickleball showdown with stars of tennis past. The Agassi, Steffi, and Andre going against Bouchard and Roddick. It's at Mick Ultra Arena, Mandalay Bay. It's on Sunday the 16th, a couple weeks from now. AXS.com, caller 6 and 7, two sets of tickets, 364-1100. Adam?
See a pro athlete signed a future pro pickleball deal?
Hold that. We won't remember when we come back. I promise we will. But we're going to talk to local hometown hero, NFL guard, UTEP guy, and looks like he's going to be a food truck entrepreneur from Chaparral, Will Hernandez.
Now back to Cofield and Company, live from Radio Row in New Orleans. Brought to you by Paul Padilaw on ESPN Las Vegas.
Yeah, we're lucky enough to be here in the lead up to the game. Cofield and Company, Media Row at the Convention Center. I can tell Griffin's doing a beautiful job, and we need him back in Vegas because he's holding it all together. But I could tell he was a little bit sassed when I told him that Will Hernandez, played at Chaparral, was on. This is the same era as Griffin. We're going to get into this after the spot, but I was just calculating, had Griffin been here at the set as a fifth man, I think we would have eclipsed we are the highest weighted show in Sports Talk Radio. I think with five of us, we would have eclipsed 1,300 pounds. That's
pretty impressive.
That's a career achievement.
That'd be great.
I'll send out the picture here in a minute. Will's a big guy.
Oh, yeah.
He's a big guy. And we were talking about it's a great connect because Adam played high school football in Vegas, not well. JVT tried it. He wasn't great. You know, Will was an underrated recruit, is now in the NFL. This guy, Griffin, was a freaking star. But, yeah, we started out talking about high school football experiences and how these guys got knocked around a little bit. And we turned to Will and we're like, hey, were you always the bully in high school, just beating people up on the field?
No, you know what? I mean, similar to you, there was a couple of years in my career, especially in high school, that I did feel like that.
Yeah.
Where I was the one getting kind of bullied. And this was only because high school was the first year I ever put on a pair of pads and a helmet and even knew what football was. So I wasn't very good, actually, my first couple of years in high school. And I remember this one specific time. We were playing Foothill, and I was on kickoff return. And I went down to, you know, block for my returner. And, you know, it was back in the day when we used to just run at each other like this. And there was this guy across the field. Boom, collided, put me on my butt. And after that hit, it was such a hard hit too, just similar to your case. After that, I was like, whoa. I was all like, that's another level. Like, I gotta play at a different level if I want to even be on this field right now. So,
well, I was like, when did it turn the corner for you? When you were like, when did you kind of get it and you're like, oh, this is something I can really be good at?
Year three.
Yeah.
Junior year. Yeah. Yeah, junior year, I started kind of, you know, figuring it out.
So what I always like is, like, I always tell this story. Like, I didn't play high school football at a high level either. But my sophomore year.
What are you talking about?
I went to Gorman.
Didn't you block for DeMarco Murray?
For DeMarco Murray.
These guys are like, all very sheepish about their back. He was the best blocker.
I was a freshman.
He credited you one time.
I was a freshman. He was a center. A senior. And he gave me amino acids one time during camp when I was cramping. That was it. But no, what I was going to say is, like, because there's levels to this. I remember my sophomore year, we had a kid, like, transfer in. His name was Josh. And he, like, it was our first game we're playing Valley, and he hawked down a punt return that we all thought was a touchdown. And I don't think I've seen anybody run faster in my life. I was like, oh, this dude's different. I don't think, played a snap at the Division I level. Like, it's great. He's probably one of the best athletes I think I've ever seen in my life in person. And then he gets to college, and I think he got 4 years at Arizona State, got his degree, did whatever, couldn't really touch the field. Like, it's crazy how much this escalates as you move on in terms of the levels.
I've always said, you know, things can easily flip. Like, a guy that's really good in high school could be bad in college. And a guy that probably barely got by and barely snuck into college, all of a sudden now he's an all-star.
So a lot of reminiscing about the glory days of our high school football careers, but I think the most important thing today is your mustache.
Yeah.
It's pretty sick.
Thanks, guys. No, I appreciate it. It actually just started off as a camp stash last offseason.
Yeah.
I was just going to rock it for camp and then, you know, go back to the full beard thing. But then I just kind of started liking it. It started growing on me, you know, and I was just like, you know what? We're going to keep it around. Went through the growing pains. Mm-hmm. And once I got it to a certain length, I was like, yeah, I can't get rid of this thing.
It's fantastic. Do you have to put, like, work in every day? You gotta curl it up. You gotta put some product in there.
And comb it.
It is a little bit of work. Yeah, I brush it a little bit just to get all the hair straightened out, and I throw a little bit of wax in there and just to hold it up. And because if I don't put any wax in, it's just dangling, and this is the part that gets annoying. Whenever you're eating, it gets all over. Like, whenever you're talking, it accidentally goes in your mouth, and you kind of chew on it. And the worst is when it goes in your mouth, and you're, like, biting down on something, and then you yank some hair out.
Oh.
It's a little bit of work. It's a little bit of work, but it's worth it.
John, you want to grow one?
I mean, I want to. I can't.
You can grow, like, a little thin one.
Yeah, you can grow a little thin mustache, yeah.
You got the foundation for it.
Now, this thing over here, Adam has seen it one time.
It's awful.
It's the worst. If I go, it's like a barbershop. It's like 1910 red mustache. It looks. Hey,
I feel
awful.
Like a red mustache show is hard. Like, I think that would be dope.
Look at this. It's like you can't see it. I'm just lazy now. I just have the stupid beard. Okay, a couple of things. First of all, I need that hat because you can describe the hat, but it's got a big fella with a gut out, which I'm all about. Right? It's like my logo. What do you got working with this? This is a good project.
Yeah, so there's a little Mijo on the logo, but I'm actually launching a small business, opening up a food truck in El Paso, Texas, and we're going to be selling tacos, we're going to be selling wings, we're going to be selling hot dogs and burgers. And, you know, this is going to happen because I went to school in El Paso, Texas, so what a better... Not better city to do with this than in El Paso. So, you know, we are going to launch Mijo's Tacos June 21st in Del Valle High School following my second annual camp.
Hey, you have a camp there. How do people find out about the camp? Where do they go?
So we'll launch our website and everything. Kids can sign up virtually. And we'll also take kids out, you know, when they show up the day of. But we'll announce it all over social media. And it's going to be our second annual camp. We're going big on this one, too. You know, we'll obviously do the whole camp. And then the cool part about this is, following the camp, I'm going to do a big event in the parking lot. And that's where we're going to launch Mijo's Tacos. Nice. We're also going to have a bunch of really cool services and sponsors there that are going to only be able to help these kids out.
Will Hernandez, Shap guy, is with us. Giants, Cardinals guy.
Yeah, what makes El Paso special? We talked to a couple guys that have just said, like, have played there or you've been through there and just love the place. Like, what makes it special?
So it's its own community, man. It's its own, like, it has its own swag. There's no other city like it. They have, you know, some of the best food there to start. It's a big city, but it has a small town feel because everybody's just on the same wavelength.
Yeah.
And so, you know, that's what makes it cool. And then you take your UTEP games. And everybody's out there. You know, everybody's supporting UTEP. And everybody was supporting me when I was there in El Paso. And even when I got drafted to the New York Giants, El Paso, by the way, is like 90% Cowboy fans. Get drafted to the Giants, it's not very good, right? I thought I was going to lose a whole fan base. No, these guys supported me. We're Royal Hernandez fans forever, even though I was there for 4 years. But so, you know, I just feel like, you know, I owe these people a lot. They've always been supportive, and it's a big deal anytime anybody out of El Paso makes it into the NFL or out of UTEP. So I know this is something they'll value, they'll cherish, and I want to do it there.
How tough was this year for you personally, dealing with the injury?
Oh, it was one of the hardest things I've ever gone through in my entire life. Just so y'all know, I've never gotten injured to the point where I needed surgery in my entire football career. Wow. So it was a blow. It was a blow for sure. And but you know what? You know, I took my few days to pout about it, blah, blah, blah. And then after that, I said, well, knee's still messed up. This happened. How am I going to react to this now? Like, what am I going to do about it? You know, so as hard as it was, and it was hard, and it still is because I miss playing. I miss missing the whole season, the rest of the season. There's nothing I can do about that now but get this back to 100% to get back on the field. That's it. That's all we could do. And then hopefully inspire people along the way in my journey, because I'm not the only one that it happens to.
I was curious, going back to the tacos, how'd you decide on the menu? What was the process?
Yeah, so we're doing this really cool thing where I'm pretty much hiring Moose's Draft House, which is a restaurant bar in El Paso, Texas, owned by one of my buddies' dad. We call him Big Moose. Moose's Draft House kitchen and staff are going to be running Mijo's Tacos. So it's their recipes. They're proven already. I've had his food for years, even before he opened that restaurant when we were all a bunch of college kids and he would just feed us and cook for us. So I've been a fan of his food for a long, long time. Now it's cool because he has some recognition as well from the city of El Paso, with Moose's Draft House being big how it is now. And to the point where he even got a award for the best burger in El Paso, Texas, second best wings, and the best happy hour. So, you know, it just made too much sense. I'm like, you have a quality product. You have Mijo's Tacos. Let's merge them together, create something cool. We know the food's going to be really, really good, and it's a chance for me to bond with the community.
You miss Vegas?
I do. At the end of the day, I was born and raised in Las Vegas, Nevada. I have so many memories there. My entire family still lives there to this day. I'm there all the time. Sin City is definitely my city, just like El Paso is.
Will Hernandez with us. Last couple questions. So I got a chance to go to El Paso because UNLV played him a couple years ago in football. You know that UTEP is joining the Mountain West Conference, we think. Mm-hmm. Who knows what's going to happen with the Pac-2 and the Mountain West. I was impressed. Like, first of all, the city is cool. There's so many good, you know, food and place to go, bars. That was really cool. That stadium is like, I know there's a bowl game there, but it's kind of a hidden gem. I was blown away by the setting.
Yes, and that's a funny thing, too, that a lot of these guys from the league that went to these, like, Power 5 conferences, schools, a lot of them have played their bowl games at Sun Bowl because it's such a desired spot for a bowl game because the stadium is so big. I think it seats, like, 55,000 or something like that. I mean, UTEP doesn't fill it as much, but when you have a bowl game there and you have these schools coming from, you know, all these other places, that stadium is rocking.
I work on the UNLV beat as a sideline reporter for football and men's basketball, and I cannot remember your recruitment process, but oftentimes we have guys on, and they're like, yeah, UNLV never even offered. Like, yeah. We're going to talk to Miles Killebrew, and Miles was at Foothill, and Miles has been in the NFL for like 7 years now, and Miles is like, yeah, they didn't reach out. They reached out to you, right? They were recruiting you?
It's a similar kind of story.
Oh, come on!
Some of it faded a little bit, so I don't remember every single detail, but from what I do remember is they knew I was there, they knew who I was, but they did not offer me any sort of scholarships or anything like that. And I'll tell you guys one thing that I never really told anybody throughout all my interviews that I've done since I've been in the league. When I was coming out, I was about 6'2", 315, 320, and my head coach at the time told me that UNLV said that I was too short to play at their school. And that was one of the reasons why they weren't going to offer me. And so I was just like, I pretty much took it as a, you know, I took it on the chin and I said, well, I can't change that. So what can I change? I can change how much grit I play with, how much, you know, animosity I play with, how much, you know, intense passion I play with. That I could change. And it actually kind of helped me because from there on out, I was just nonstop workhorse mentality. But yeah, that's funny because that's one of the things that happened with UNLV. They said I was too short.
Lordy, wow. I hate asking because then I find that out and I'm like, man, that's a bummer.
But I do think they're getting better in recruiting local talent from I've seen.
They're also very big on the transfer portal now because they're turning over the roster to the tune of like 50 guys. So Ooh. Now their new coach, Dan Mullen, was at Florida, Mississippi State. So it's like SEC veterans. Yes. And we'll see if it works. It's a different way of putting together a football team. A lot has to mesh. And I'll ask you this. The offensive line for UNLV this last year was good. Well, they'd been together for 3 years. You throw a bunch of transfers together.
I've been preaching that forever, that you need continuity on an offensive line. You need to give them time. It doesn't work in 1 or 2 years sometimes. Sometimes they need that third year. But, I mean, I'm glad that it finally guys are starting to finally see that.
Yeah.
Teams are starting to finally see that.
And well, support for UNLV football. The fans are coming out, so now Allegiant's getting some crowds. One last time, promote Mijo's Tacos and, you know, what's coming out and where they can go to find out more information.
Yeah, so Mijo's Tacos is going to be based in El Paso, Texas to start. June 21st, following my second annual camp, is when we're debuting the taco truck in Del Valle High School parking lot following the camp around 1 p.m. So we're going to have a lot of things going on there. It won't just be the truck. There'll be a car show there, a bunch of tents put up, a bunch of sponsors there. You know, things that I feel like will help kids in their football journeys. And, yeah, good food at the end of the day. And what also makes us different, I recognize that there's a lot of Mexican food in El Paso, and it's everywhere. But what's going to make us different is we are going to be smoking our meat. We are going to give it a different touch. We're going to give it a different flavor, sazon, to where, like, you're not just going to be able to go get the meat, what you're going to get at Mijo's Tacos anywhere else, you know. And, you know, they have special recipes and everything, and I'm telling you, it's going to be good. I know food here is going to be
up.
Good.
Yeah, you're fired up.
I think you're too short to have a restaurant.
Yeah. Is this for you and LV Scott, or what's going on?
It's that Silverado rivalry with everyone else. Exactly. He's always going at people. Exactly. You know, he's jealous. He's jealous of the success.
I'm a Gorman guy. I'm above it all.
Yeah, exactly.
I actually have a lot of love for Gorman because when I was there, they sponsored our weight room, brand new weight room at Chaparral. So
that's cool.
I'm very grateful with Gorman, and I think they deserve everything they have.
See?
There you go. Cool.
Olive branch. I like that. Will, thank you so much.
All right, guys. Thank you. Appreciate you having me.
Will Hernandez, Chaparral, UTEP, Giants, Cardinals. Don't forget, for the big game this weekend, great spot to hang out, Circa Las Vegas. Look it up. Big game bash. They're going to have bashes all over the property. Victory Burger, we usually do the show there. Tomorrow we'll have... Thursday. We'll have Greg Salerno on the scene doing the show with us, but they have lots of options. But you're going to have to reserve a spot. You got to. It's one of the hottest spots in town. Great spot for a big game bash. Circle Las Vegas. Look it up online, circlelasvegas.com, and then search Big Game Bash.
Cofield and Company presents Grab Bag on ESPN Las Vegas.
Stick your hand in there, dude.
Let's go in the back for another good combo we had today. Radio Row. Media Row. Trying to make the adjustment. New Orleans, Cofield and Company. John Von Tobel was with us most of the day, and John got a chance to wrangle one of his favorite guys, one of the Colts, to talk a little young. He's actually not that young anymore. He's 5 years in with 400-plus catches. Michael Pittman's been really, really productive. And well, he's got a young quarterback on that team, and JVT talked to Michael Pittman about Richardson and his growth this year.
Yeah, I mean, kind of just watching him grow from week one to week 18 and just seeing the things that he did, because we had a season full of turbulence, right? I mean, like, there was a lot of things that came up and like, they weren't great things, right? But the way that he handled it, the way that he kept showing up, like, his professionalism showed that he could take those shots, he could handle everybody talking negatively about him and show up and do everything that he needed to do to get better, like, for like the next day. And that's kind of the things that you want to see, like, from your quarterback, because I mean like, football is such a results driven sport, and when you don't have the results that everybody wants. Like, they're going to pick you apart on every single level. And I felt like he handled that well.
Well, some of it was by your guys' own design or whatever. I mean, that, like, you guys were solid last year, right? I mean, the previous season, you were a drop pass away potentially from making it to the playoffs. Mm-hmm. That we obviously see that. So watching that and how you guys did last year and what was this year like, you had some injuries as well.
Yeah.
So, like, just what the year was like for you.
Yeah, I mean, for me personally, like, it was tough. Obviously, I had the back deal started in training camp and like just the whole season. I mean, we were fighting to put ourselves like in position and we really had hope until the last couple games, you know, like we kind of controlled our own destiny and then we go out to Denver and we don't win that critical game. Mm-hmm. Like, which hurt us, but it sucks to say, but there is some positive in what happened last season. Anthony did some great things. Obviously, there's things that everybody can do better. There's things that I could do better. So we just got to focus on everything that we can do to be better for the next year, and that starts now, right? You know, like, we got to work on things every single day.
So I think your wide receiver room's great. You guys have a lot of great guys in there. I'm a big Josh Downs fan.
Oh, yeah.
What'd you see from him this year? That dude's awesome.
Josh is a do-all inside route master. I mean, if you need a first down, just throw him a damn choice route. Yeah. And like, he is going to get anywhere between 7 to 100 yards, like, just like on a choice route. So, and he just has a great feel for space. I mean, the guy is going into year three, but you would think he's like a 10-year vet. I mean, he just reads coverage well. And I expect Josh to keep on going up, you know. I mean, if he didn't get hurt like this past year, I mean, maybe he would have had his first 1,000-yard season. I mean, that's just what type of guy he is.
So we're talking with Michael Pittman, of course, Colts wide receiver here on ESPN Las Vegas Live in New Orleans. We have a unique tie here at ESPN Las Vegas to Indianapolis. Shane Steichen, former UNLV quarterback.
Okay.
Yeah, so we always, every time I intro him, it's like Shane Steichen, former UNLV quarterback. It's never Indianapolis Colts head coach. But so what's it been like playing under me? 2 years, and I think he's had some really high highs. You know, obviously, there's been lows. It's football. But what's it been like under playing under him?
Yeah, I mean, I think that Shane is great. I mean, Shane really plays to his player's strength, right? And he is a player's coach. And all of us players, I mean, like, we love him. Like, we respect him. We think that he's a great coach. And we want to win more games for him so we can make sure that he's here for the long term.
All right, before we let you go, you're here with Toyota, the official automotive partner of the NFL, who I hear some pretty cool things in store for NFL fans at Super Bowl NFL Experience in New Orleans. So tell us about that.
Yeah, so I've been working with Toyota for about a year now, and I actually drive a Sequoia TRD Pro. Everything that Toyota has done this season has been to support the next generation of athletes. And we also have stuff for fans here at Super Bowl Experience, where they can hop in cars with some of the Team Toyota family through AR technology. Like, it's like pretty funny too, like, all, you know, like, just like us, like, hopping in cars talking to them, and like, it's a pretty cool thing. Cool. So,
Michael, we appreciate a couple minutes. Thank you. You got it.
JBT, nice job there with Michael Pittman, receiver from the Colts. We'll have plenty of NFL players on the rest of the week from Radio Row in New Orleans. Adam Hill, Steve Cofield. Closing it out. First of all, what are you doing tomorrow? Any big activities you have to go to? I know you're working on a bunch of stories down here.
Yeah, I got to look up the schedule of some stuff. Can't remember which press conference are tomorrow. I want to go to the broadcaster one just because a certain Raider owner will be there.
Yep. Goodell said on Monday that Brady has actually done a pretty good line of following the rules and is actually talking to Raj and TB12. Converse every once in a while to make sure it's all good to go. But Brady is going to have access to the Chiefs this week?
The production meetings, okay. Yes, for Chiefs and Eagles. Not practice. He can't go to practice, but he can go to the production meetings for this week. So that's a little bit of a relaxation of the guideline. We'll see if that's part of what they do in the off season in terms of reevaluating that, reanalyzing that. But I think that, you know, Hunt was one of the owners that was very against him doing this and wanting the regulations to play. So Hunt saying, hey, it's okay for him to be with us this week. Pretty big step for Brady. And also, I just remembered, we absolutely did not pay off the team.
For from like 90 minutes ago.
No, it was only 20 minutes ago.
What was it again?
A professional athlete has signed a future pickleball pro contract.
Who is it?
JD Martinez.
Really?
Yeah.
Is he quitting baseball for life of pickleball?
When he decides to leave baseball, he'll
get out of here. Pickleball. It's a pickleball. Futures contract?
Yeah, futures deal. It's a reserve contract.
I want to get signed for like the 60-year-old division in 5.5 years. I think I'm going to be good at pickleball when I try it.
Once.
Yeah, I have to try it once. And it'll be one of those where I go out there and I'm like, God, I am terrible at this. I'm out of shape. I stink.
I think JD Martinez will beat you.
Ooh. Maybe. I have a lot of confidence, but yeah, you're probably right. He's got the deal. We'll see you tomorrow.